This is Stateside. I'm Lester Graham. How you doing? Hey, there's this quarterly magazine that reaches out to the Detroit neighborhoods to find its writers. Riverwise focuses on activism and neighborhood concerns. It's working to find and train people to write for their magazine. Eric Campbell is the managing editor for Riverwise, and he joins us now. Hi there.
How are you, Lester? How are you?
I want to start with the name. What does Riverwise mean?
Riverwise kind of comes from a long discussion that started with the idea that any point in the river, you're kind of dealing with the present, the past, and the future as it flows. We also wanted to make sure that we, in the title, alluded to, you know, some of the water issues that are happening in Detroit and the fact that we're surrounded by water. And it sort of evolved for me personally into sort of a state of mind. So I kind of look at it as Riverwise as being, you know, similar to being streetwise. So it's got several layers to it, we hope.
I was looking at the spring-summer edition from this year. In fact, I knew a couple of the authors, which I found interesting. What kind of stories do you want for Riverwise?
We're looking for stories generally in Detroit neighborhoods that have been traditionally marginalized by race, marginalized by class, by gender, by politics, etc. And we're looking for stories from folks who have taken on social justices on their own terms and in the process have transformed themselves and the people around them, and even furthermore, taken a critical look at the institutions which have, you know, created a lot of these social injustices that we deal with.
What do you think it's important for people who are involved in Detroit's movements and communities tell the stories themselves?
It's the best way to really correct the narrative, the political narrative, and the narrative around how Detroit has come to deal with a lot of the, as I mentioned earlier, the social injustices that we're dealing with, especially in this time of rapid transition, economic transition, and rapid transition demographically. We feel like the best way to really correct the narrative is to have the folks doing the work, have people that are in the neighborhoods that have yet to really be sufficiently acknowledged, tell those stories themselves. So we've been working very hard to build capacity towards those ends.
Give me an example of a recent story, maybe one from this most recent issue that you really think hits the mark.
Well, there's a few. I think I have to give a shout out to Selima Ellis because she's been so excited about the piece and she's been supporting us greatly as far as getting magazines out. But Selima Ellis is a mother educator who works with her children and some children in her neighborhood doing a neighborhood homeschool. She's also very active with the Detroit Independent Freedom Schools. So she has found a way to organically in her neighborhood provide leverage to the injustice we've been dealing with around school closures and the chaos that's been enacted in Detroit public schools, mostly coming from the state and emergency management.
As an editor, I imagine there's some upsides that you've kind of outlined, but there's probably some downsides, too, to working with non-traditional writers, a citizen journalist. Is that a challenge, or how much of a challenge is it?
Yeah, it's a challenge we're actually still working out. We're working on our seventh issue right now. We're about a year and a half in. So our first issue was published in February 2017. So, you know, very early on, we realized the power of people writing their own stories. And so, yeah, there are quite a few challenges that come with receiving pieces and really trying to provide an open submission policy, meaning that, you know, you're having to deal with pieces of writing that are coming in at various different skill sets, various levels. But we found different ways to acknowledge that, including offering editorial support. There have been cases where people have been hesitant to write their own stories, so we've reached out in the way of doing recorded question and answer style stories.
Mm-hmm.
But the important thing overall is to get their voice and their words telling their own stories.
You recently got some funding to put on a journalism workshop series described as increased capacity at the grassroots level for writing stories in our own voices.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you go about doing that?
We were lucky enough to receive a grant called the Detroit Journalism Engagement Fund grant. We sent in a proposal for that grant based on response we got through community conversations we were doing, and folks were eager to write their own stories, and the discussion turned to how do we, you know, create that space where they can do that, where they feel comfortable doing that. So we received the grant to do what we call the Riverwise Writing Workshop. So one of the ways in which we're trying to be as accessible as possible and getting folks to tell their own stories, again, is presenting and facilitating workshops focused on different disciplines. So the first one we did, which was facilitated by Tawana Honeycomb-Petty, focused on visionary resistance through poetry. We have one coming up which focuses on storytelling through photography. And then we'll be doing later in the year some more narrative style disciplines like autobiography. And so the workshops are a way to sort of to increase that capacity and go into neighborhoods and continue that conversation right where the work is being done.
I understand you used to be a writer at the Michigan Citizen, which, yeah, for those who don't know, it was a legendary weekly Detroit paper for the African-American community, and it closed in 2014. By the way, I got to work with some of the folks at the Citizen for just a brief moment because they were one of our partners in the Detroit Journalism Cooperative. Do you see Riverwise as a continuation of the work of the Michigan Citizen?
The spirit of the Michigan Citizen is certainly a great inspiration for what we're trying to do. I would never go as far to say that, you know, we or anyone else could replace the Michigan Citizen. As you said, that paper, especially looking back in retrospect now, has played such an incredible role and played such an important part in the media environment in Detroit and for the Black community. But certainly there's no question that when discussions were being had around, you know, how to put this project together, the Michigan Citizen's name came up. There are a couple of us who actually worked for the Michigan Citizen and some folks that have been doing work with the James and Grace Lee Bach Center for a while. So the Michigan Citizen was certainly an inspiration. Well, especially when it closed in 2014, the discussion really revolved around, does the media environment need something that really spoke to minority communities in Detroit and the work that they're doing, you know, with the loss of the Michigan Citizen? So that was a big part of the discussion, yeah.
Let me ask you a practical question. Where can I get a copy of Riverwise?
They're around. Our distribution strategy is also evolving, but they are, you know, we have about 100 locations where you can find them regularly around town, including, I'm happy to say, the Detroit Public Library is now distributing Riverwise at all the Detroit Public Library branches and the Charles Wright Museum of African American History as well. But they're also in shops, small shops around town. We're trying to distribute more in neighborhoods outside, you know, Midtown and the normal, you know, spots you might expect to find it. I mean, this is really geared towards the work that's being done in, as I said, marginalized neighborhoods. But we do have a map on the website. If people want to look for specific locations, we have a map that depicts, you know, the 20 or 30 places where you can find it, you know, regularly.
What's the website?
The website is riverwisedetroit.org.
All right. That's Eric Campbell. He's the managing editor for Riverwise. Take a look at it. And like I said, I was surprised when I was told about it. It's a slick magazine. It's pretty nice.
Yeah. You know, we've benefited greatly from the work of an artist named Zoo Pere, who's been working mostly on covers. And then I have to mention Lucy Wiley Eggert, who's been leading the charge on the layout. Yeah. I mean, it's a good looking magazine. And hopefully, you know, we hope it reads well, and we hope, you know, the presentation is such that the original ideas we're trying to present, you know, are well received.
Best of luck.
Thank you so much, Lester.